Scarlet, Blue, and You, the podcast where we share the stories and people shaping Hannibal LaGrange University. I'm your host, Lauren Yauss, and today we're stepping into the world of theater and love, faith, and loss. Doesn't that sound like a great Reformation Day Halloween story?
It does.
With HLGU's upcoming production of Shadowlands.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, we need a creepy button. So this moving true story follows C.S. Lewis, the... You know, better late than never. Okay, so this moving true story follows C.S. Lewis, the beloved author of The Chronicles of Narnia, as his quiet Oxford life is turned upside down by the arrival of American poet Joy Davidman. What begins as an unexpected friendship blossoms into a love that challenges Lewis's deepest beliefs about life, faith, and the cost of truly opening one's heart. Joining me to talk about this tender and profound production is HLGU's Director of Theater, Sabrina Brookshire.
Hello.
Welcome back, Sabrina.
Thank you. Thank
you,
as always, for having me.
Okay. Well, we love having you. But for those who might not be familiar, what drew you to Shadowlands as the fall production for HLGU?
Yes. Couple of things. First of all, I just love C.S. Lewis. And if you haven't read him, read his stuff. He has some great fiction, some great nonfiction. I will tell you, though, his nonfiction is weighty, and it always takes me a while to get through because there's so much to think about and absorb. So something that drew me to this production is that it's neat to do a story, to put on stage a story that's about someone's real life. Mm-hmm. And we really have a season of that this year, about exploring people's lives and real people, not just fictional characters. And so that's unique. I think that his and what this place speaks to his life is wonderful for us as believers, and hopefully also will draw non-believers. And I think we'll just bring truths out that are incredible. And so the depth of the play also drew me. The intimacy of the play, which we'll talk about probably later with another question,
probably.
I think. Teaser. And so multiple things. And just as I was reading it, the creativity behind how I wanted to stage it drew me, and it felt like the right timing. And
nice.
So multiple things.
Oh, yeah. That sounds great. And it's playing November
13th, 14th, and 15th. That's a Thursday through Saturday at 7 p.m.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get the date on there as
yes,
much as possible.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Yep.
Okay, so C.S. Lewis is such an iconic figure in Christian thought. How does Shadowlands portray his faith, not just his writings, but his personal struggles and relationships?
Yeah, and so, man, it is weighty. So just come knowing that, like, there's a lot, and I think it portrays his faith in a very real way. And if you've read his stuff, you know that it's challenging and inspiring. And I think this shows his human side of his wrestling with God. And if you've read some of those his works, you know, Grief Observed, which originally wasn't intended to be, I believe it was just journal entries that wasn't intended to be
process.
Published. Yeah. It just shows the realism of his struggle. And I think not so much with his faith, but more just with, you know, God's goodness and the idea of suffering in our lives, and how is it to push us closer to the Lord. And, you know, he struggled with very real emotions of grief and loss. And I think at one point in his life, he thought he had, through the loss of his mother and through other things. And then with, it's hard because I don't want to talk super spoiler, if you don't know, but just through other loss, he reached a greater depth of grief. And so I think it's a very real play that shows not so much a wavering in faith, but more a struggle of God in that journey of grief and where that takes place.
Sounds like some themes that your audience is really going to connect with if they've gone through that grief.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, we've probably all gone through grief, but at varying levels, and it's something that you cannot escape in your life. And then suffering in general. I mean, you know, scripture tells that. And so, yeah, I think it will connect to each person in our audience in different ways, but I think, you know, you can't come and not connect with the feelings and the emotions that are portrayed and what you see happen. Yeah.
So again, this play is based on a true story, mm-hmm. so real people. Mm-hmm. So are there particular challenges or joys that come with directing a play based on real people, especially ones as well known as like C.S. Lewis and his wife Joy?
Yeah. I mean, there have been some challenges. I actually want to speak first, though, to, I don't know if you would counter and call it victories, but just the fun of like, so as a director, it's my goal to take the script and before we ever even cast, like I'm analyzing it, picking apart, and creating off of that, whether it's the movement of the actors, the design, whatever it may be. But this has been neat. I mean, I did first take the context of the script, but it's been neat to then after that analyzing to go beyond and do a lot more research on the real people. Mm. You know, his brother is in it. And then, of course, his wife. And then some of the colleagues are a little fictionalized. But like to be able to research, you know, and want to play it true to them. And so some of the things that we've discovered along that way have been so neat and interesting. Like, for example, he never used a typewriter and he always wrote, but his brother would then take it. And Warnie was the one that would type all of his manuscripts.
Oh, God bless Warnie.
Yeah, I know. Poor Warnie. And so just some of the interesting facts that we found out, we want to share those more. So every Friday night showing after the show, we have a talk back.
Oh, yes.
And so the 14th will be our talk back. And so even if you don't come to that performance, you can still come back and, you know, come on in about probably 9:30 mm-hmm. and catch the talk back. And so we're going to share some of that more, you know, like the insights we found into Lewis's life and his brother and just things in their journey and Joy's life as well. So anyway, so sorry, that didn't really answer your question. Challenges that we faced. Can you repeat the actual question?
Yeah, I sure can. Are there particular challenges yeah. or joys that come with directing a play based on real people?
Yeah. I think just, you know, wanting to bring it to light so much, the reality. And I think with this particular play, the depth, wanting to get across, it really takes... the idea of emotion and intellect and combines them. And so wanting to play true to that, for sure. And then, yeah, like I said, with, you know, we did other research outside of the script itself to be accurate. And so I think it just required a little more groundwork.
Yeah.
Which I said was fun, but was also another added element. Mm-hmm. And so if anything, I think it was that and just wanting to play them as real. Like, so Rhett Simpson, he's a senior theater major, is playing Lewis, which is a big task.
Oh, is that the script in front of you?
It is the script.
Are there
yeah,
like
it's my
long,
director's copy.
Long
yeah.
monologues.
Yeah,
and...
he has multiple ones. It's really kind of neat how he comes out. And so our audience more, when he lectures a couple of mm-hmm. times, turns into... the people he's lecturing to.
How fun.
So he kind of gets to break that fourth wall and like talk to them, which is really unique. But you know, it's been a big task and he's done a lot of homework beyond not just memorizing, but like studying Lewis. So one thing that we were looking up was like, did he have any particular like mannerisms or mm-hmm. things? And so, you know, just trying to bring his character to life on stage as true to Lewis as we can.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very
so
cool. Yeah. So you talked about breaking the fourth wall.
Yes.
But you're also trying to enhance the emotional depth of this production
yeah.
By transforming the stage into a black box style theater.
Yep.
So it's offering a closer look, much more personal. So what inspired this creative decision?
Yeah. So as I was reading it is really when it hit me that this is not... So our Parker Theater is a proscenium-style stage, and if you don't know what that is, it's like the big opening, and then the audience sets out from the stage, and you look into this box, okay? That's known as a proscenium. And, like, it's great for design purposes because you can use more elaborate sets, and you can drop things in and mm-hmm. all of that, use your fly system, but it's also known for creating a lack of intimacy because you have this distance between the front row, even, and the action. You know, standard, like, our stage has about 15, 17 feet that you're experiencing, which that distance does, whether you realize it, kind of can provide a disconnect. And so as I was reading this, I was like, man, like this needs to draw in like the depth and the just the realness mm-hmm. and the connection that the audience could feel to the characters because of these emotions and this ride they're experiencing is so deep. I need to draw this in. And how do I do that? And so my thoughts went to having them on stage with us, but, and we've done that with our student directed one acts. If you've ever been, we will have an evening in one acts and we place our audience on stage, sometimes all the way around. We kind of, each time, maybe the seating's a little bit different, but we fit about 50 on stage. And I thought, you know, I don't want to limit it to 50. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, really kind of shrinking it too much. And so I just started working on set design and I pulled it onto stage and I said, I'm just going to go for this and see what it looks like once I get into like a 3D model and what can I do with the space that we have? How many can I truly fit? And so we managed, so we're building extra risers. So it's going to be three tiers, three rows on three sides. So it's kind of actually technically a thrust stage.
Okay.
So three sides, you think of like the runway, like yeah, where it comes down into the middle. So there is one side with no audience members, but we managed through that, through three rows to fit right at 100.
Nice.
And so what it's doing for the play, again, because you're closer to the action, I think there'll be much more of a connection with the audience. And also, there are a lot of locations in this play. So a lot of times when you go to a play, not always, but a lot of contemporary plays have one setting. So like All My Sons by Arthur Miller, you go and it's the yard. You know, you might go to like Little Women, the play version, and it's their like parlor area. You know, you go and it's one location and it stays at that. And this has many throughout. Mm. And it's interesting because the script is act one, scene one, and it's not broken down for you at all. And so like it's so many locations. I'm like, how do we create all these locations but fill the stage? Because having and needing all that movement, almost like you would have in a musical, I feel like this is too much to have, again, in a big proscenium style. And so shrinking it has allowed us to just use properties mostly. Like we do have some set pieces, set pieces that don't move, but then a lot of things revolve around them.
Sure.
And because the audience is on all sides, we don't use a lot of flats or things, meaning those bigger pieces that would have or, you know, obstruct you from seeing through to the actors. And that has also allowed us just using properties to be able to move things in quickly and out. Mm. So something else unique, this is a spoiler, but not to the story. Hopefully it will spoil and tease you to get you in.
That's right.
Is that because there's so many transitions and scene transitions, we wanted... Transitions are so important because you don't want to lose your audience when you're trying to move something or trying to go into a new scene. And so we have a piano player. A pianist will be playing periodically, like throughout the show, that will also play through these transitions and then sometimes bleed into a scene or may even come in a little bit under a scene to just support and add emotional value, but also to aid in all these scene changes that we have to do. So they'll actually be in costume and they'll be setting on the stage as well. Kind of sandwiched in between some of the audience members. And I do want to say, do not let setting on stage intimidate you from coming because there's not audience participation. This is not improvisation where we're going to pull someone out to participate. I promise. Yeah. At most, to pull in would just be with Lewis and some of his lecturing. He might look at the audience, but that's the most it pulls it in. So don't let that intimacy intimidate you from coming and sharing in this experience.
Perfect. So, yeah. Perfect. Okay. If you could describe this play in one word, what would it be? One word. I'm not going to count.
I can't even like defend why I choose this word.
Maybe. We'll
talk about it. So I'm not going to lie. We were discussing this a little bit earlier and she doesn't like my word. But like so much about the title says so much about the play. I mean, the theme is often worked into a title. Yeah. Shadows like would be how I describe it. And you find that theme woven and explained throughout the play. And it's this idea of, you know, our time here on this earth is merely a shadow to what Christ has for us with him in eternity. And he talks about, and I brought this, I was deciding, do I want to say any quotes from the play? Do I not? But hey, if you listen, you might get some, you know, some more insight. But he talks about at the end, the pain now is part of the happiness then. That's the deal, only shadows. And And so, like, you know, he talks about how with great love can also come pain, but totally worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but yeah, it's merely a shadow to what he has for us.
Very nice.
What Christ has for us.
Okay, one more time.
Yeah.
When is this play happening?
Yes, it is in our Parker Theater here in the Roland Fine Arts Center on the campus of Hannibal LaGrange University. Mm-hmm. And it is November 13th, 14th, and 15th at 7 p.m. And you can get a ticket a couple of ways. The fastest way is to go onto our website, which is hlg.tix.com, and you can order your ticket online. Something that differs from this as opposed to some of our other productions is we're doing general seating, general admission. And so you don't, you're not buying a specific seat.
Sure.
And so know that our house opens 30 minutes before the show starts. So our house will open at 6:30, and that way you can come and pick that seat early. So when you go online on our Tix page, you are just purchasing like a general ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You could also call our box office. It's 573-629-3182. And leave a message, and we're not in there like all day long or anything. And so,
yeah, so just leave a message.
Normally just leave a message and we'll get back with you hopefully within about 24 hours. So, and ticket prices are $10 a piece. It's just a flat.
There's a bargain.
No, yeah. There's no senior rate or group rate. We just decided to kind of make it general.
Yeah. Since you're only doing 100 a night.
Exactly. And so it's all $10 a piece. And we really hope to fill the house, like the seating that we've created. We would love every night to fill that up and think it's a unique opportunity. And we encourage church groups, you know, bring your church group, bring your small group, bring your life group, like bring your Sunday school class, come. And then it would be great even discussion for
it sounds like it.
A later date or on the way home or something like that. Just to, I think it's going to be very thought provoking, very challenging in a good way. So leave and discuss and continue to ponder the truths that have been presented.
Mm, fantastic. Anything else you'd like to share? Did we forget anything?
I don't think so.
Okay.
We would just love for you to come.
Yeah.
Hang out with us.
I'm excited.
I think
that sounds good.
Only other thing I could plug is we have social media pages that really keep our audience up to date on what's happening. And so if you have Facebook, visit our Hannibal LaGrange University, all spelled out, Theater Arts page.
And theater spelled the fancy way.
No, of course. Is there another way? yeah, with the R-E, not the E-R. And then we also have Instagram page, and it's a great way to stay up to date on what's happening here in our theater. But also, we just love posting fun stuff. It can often give you a behind-the-scenes, backstage look. You can often meet some of the cast and crew beforehand. And then we're doing a new thing called Take Five, where we go out into campus and ask them questions, too. And so you can see a lot of faces. And so join us on social media.
Perfect.
We would love that.
I love that.
Yep.
I'll have to do that when I get back to my office. Well, thank you so much, Sabrina, for sharing a glimpse of what sounds like a beautiful production that I'm definitely getting tickets to. So again, you can see Shadowlands at Hannibal LaGrange University in the Parker Theater, November 13th through 15th at 7 o'clock each evening. And tickets are available, and we'll have those links here in the podcast so you can easily access those. $10. Purchase your tickets early because there's not that many of them, and they're going to go fast.
That's right.
So this has been Scarlet, Blue, and You. Thanks so much for listening, and we hope to see you at the theater.